Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, Raider Nation? Matt Holder with Silver and Black Pride here. The Raiders are on fire right now after back-to-back road wins on a two-game road trip, and they've got their first chance to get retribution this week against the Los Angeles Chargers. So for this week's Behind Enemy Lines podcast, please welcome back Nick Cothrell from Charger Report, Sports Illustrated site that covers all things Chargers. Nick, how you doing, man?
Good. Good as always. Thanks for having me, Matt. Looking forward to this AFC West matchup this weekend.
Awesome. So it's been about 12 weeks or 3 months since we talked during the season opener. So tell me, what's changed about the Chargers' outlook for this season?
Well, I'm sure, as you know, Matt, like, injuries have just plagued the Chargers all season. And, you know, it seemed like it was all on offense. They were down a bunch of their skill guys, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, you know, lose Rashawn Slater. Corey Linsley's been in and out, but now it's some of those guys are starting to come back, and now all the injuries seem like they're shifting towards the defensive side of the ball, just really hitting the interior of that defensive line particularly hard. So I guess since the Raiders and Chargers have played last, just the complexity of their roster has really changed a lot, and just kind of, you know, the Chargers having to rely on, you know, that cliche, just the next man up, because they really haven't had an option.
And it's kind of two cliches involved, like obviously next man up, and then just Chargers are going to charge it. Whatever's going on over there, they always seem to have injuries and always seem to be one of the most banged up teams in the league. So I do want to ask you right now, because they are sitting at 6-5, about a game behind the Jets for the third wild card spot, and they have the Raiders, Dolphins, Titans, Colts, Rams, and Broncos to finish out the year. So real quickly, can you give me a record prediction, and how confident are you that the Chargers end up making the playoffs?
You know, it's going to be tough. So they're heading into last week, the way I looked at it was like they're going to have to win five of the next seven. Obviously, they won last week by going for that 2-point conversion that ultimately sealed it for them. So Now they got to get the 10 wins is the way I see it. So like last year, obviously the Raiders knocked them off and kept them out of the playoffs, and they finished with 9 wins. I think they got to get to that 10 win mark. So they got to win four of the next six. Four of those teams right now have a losing record. So, you know, I do think that it is possible, but also like the Chargers, their last four games have all been decided within the final minute. And they've all been obviously decided by one score. So, you know, they play a lot of close games. So really anything can happen. Right now, I kind of side with them getting to the 10 wins, because they have guys like Joey Bosa and Mike Williams are both expected to come back during the stretch run. They get in the playoffs, Rashawn Slater could possibly come back, so that'll be big for them. So I kind of just see them kind of building momentum as things go along. I see them getting in exactly at 10 wins. I don't think I don't see them, you know, getting to 11 or 12 or anything, but I can see them getting in with 10.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. It feels like this week is like pretty much like a must win week. Cause if you're talking four out of six, well, you got the Raiders this week, big game, obviously a big game, going to be a tough matchup. And then the Dolphins and Titans next, those are the two winning teams. So if you lose three in a row, like, that's going to be morally deflating and go to finish out the season and have to be in a win or go home for the next 3 weeks. So I feel like this is a big week for the Chargers for sure.
No doubt. Yeah. Definitely kind of one of those weeks that they need to be looking at as like kind of a must win situation, just because of those teams coming up next with the Dolphins and Titans. Both of them are at home. So, you know, that's better than having to, you know, go all the way across the country to Miami or even Tennessee. But even at home, you know, that's going to be tough no matter how you slice it.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to everyone's favorite quote unquote social media quarterback, whatever the hell that means. But it does feel like people are starting to turn a little bit on Justin Herbert, and maybe the honeymoon period's over. So I'm curious, why do you think that is?
I think they're, they, I think it's people that aren't exactly kind of like watching him too closely. And, you know, there's a lot of factors. You know, Justin hasn't been as good as he was last year, or even his rookie year, but like it kind of laid out, he's without his all-pro left tackle. He's been he's only had Keenan Allen for, you know, a little over, I want to say 8 to 9 quarters of football this season. And, you know, Keenan Allen's that guy that Justin looks at on all those crucial third downs. I believe last year he actually was second in the league in like third down conversions. So like losing that is a big element. And then Mike Williams has been in and out. They really haven't been able to run the ball. The offensive line has been, you know, fine in pass protection in terms of, you know, sacks they're towards the bottom of the league, but they really haven't been getting much push from the offensive line. So it's kind of turned them into a one-dimensional type of offense. And then with the injuries, you know, Austin Eckler is on pace to set the record for the most receptions by a running back in a single season, just based with all those injuries. So it's been a lot of, you know, underneath type throws. So you really haven't seen that Justin Herbert flash kind of like you did last year when the Chargers finished as a top five offense. So I think there's kind of a lot of factors. The play calling probably hasn't been nearly as good as it had been under Joe Lombardi last season. So just kind of a lot of factors at play. And, you know, the Chargers it's kind of been a roller coaster for them. They've went on like a 3-game winning streak, and then they've had their situations where they're, you know, Brandon Staley's going for it, and this year it's kind of bit them in the butt and they've lost. So, you know, I just think that it's Justin Herbert kind of has turned into a little bit of a punching bag from some of the, you know, the national pundits. But you know, I think for the most part, at least locally, people aren't really turning on Justin just yet.
Yeah, it is funny. And I mean, I know Raider fans know this well. The quarterback is always the easy target when the team's not performing like you would.
Totally.
And you mentioned like missing all the weapons. And the one thing that you did say that stood out to me was, you know, he's been throwing shorter. So I think that is part of it. You know, he's not getting those obscene crosses body on the move, 60-yard bombs that we were seeing last year, like the one play that I think everyone can recall. So I'm curious, do you think that's more from him just adjusting to not having his guys, or is he making a concerted effort to maybe check the ball down more, which I know is something that people had been wanting to see from
him? I think there's kind of a lot that goes into it. I think it's even when they were healthy, like going into the season, really like their only legitimate speed threat was Jalen Guyton, and he tore his ACL in week 3 and he hasn't been there. Gotcha. So then it's been like DeAndre Carter has kind of turned into that, you know, guy that they can hit deep. And even for him, like they signed him initially to be a returner. And so he's kind of, you know, stepped into a role. And it's taken time for him and Justin to get on the same page. And I've kind of seen a little bit more of him in recent weeks where DeAndre Carter's really been able to shine. But, you know, even entering the season, they didn't exactly have a ton of speed. And then when injuries hit, it really limited them. You know, there were games where they were trotting out 3 guys that started the year on the practice squad as guys that were active. So, you know, the Raiders know Keelan Doss, like he was a guy that that they called up from the practice squad to play. So it's been that. And then I also think that, you know, people look at like, you know, cause Justin is kind of in that same level with like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But Justin isn't like that gunslinger type. Like he would much rather, you know, he seems like the guy that would much rather check it down than turn over the ball. He seems a lot more cautious than, you know, like the Josh Allen where he kind of has that mindset. Like he can just make any throw and sometimes it'll come back to bite him. I think Justin's a lot more cautious in that regard. So I think that also plays into him not slinking it downfield nearly as much when guys aren't open because they just don't have the speed and they're just not separating.
So you mentioned DeAndre Carter, which is actually a nice transition because he was the next guy I was going to ask you about. And I know with Keenan Allen coming back, Carter's kind of been filling in the slot with Allen out. So with Keenan Allen coming back, what does DeAndre Carter's role look like in this offense?
Well, you know, it kind of depends because like, so Keenan's back now, but Mike Williams, his status is kind of to be determined right now. So Keenan, you know, with Keenan and DeAndre Carter, they've both kind of kind of flip-flopped, you know, from in the slot and outside along the boundary. So I just imagine they continue to do that, just without Mike Williams out there. And then they also have Joshua Palmer, who's stepped up, two of his last four games over 100 yards. So he's really been the guy, especially when Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both out, they really turned to Joshua Palmer. So it's kind of like Joshua Palmer on the outside, and then Keenan Allen and DeAndre Carter are kind of flipping inside and outside, at least until Mike Williams comes back. And for this Sunday, we'll probably know a lot more as we get closer, but he didn't practice at all last week after re-aggravating his ankle after coming back. So he'll kind of be a wait and see as the week progresses.
It's funny you bring up Josh Palmer too, because obviously I think last time we talked, I think I brought him up as a guy that somebody Raider fans might want to know. And like you mentioned, with Allen being out for most of the year and Williams being gone for the last few weeks, like, it does seem like Palmer has started to emerge. So how has his role changed into the offense since week one? Can you dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah, massive. I mean, he was a guy that really shined in training camp, but then the first couple of weeks, you didn't really notice him quite as much because of, you know, the other guys that we've talked about, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, DeAndre Carter initially got off to a pretty hot start. But during their absence, you know, Joshua Palmer's really been the guy that they've had to turn to. It's like there were games where it was Joshua Palmer and Austin Eckler were like leading the team in receiving each week because the other guys were practice squad call-ups. So they really didn't have a whole lot of options to turn towards, but Joshua Palmer has really stepped up when they needed him. He's a guy who really, like, all throughout training camp, I was writing, as well as others, just how good he looked. His route running was really something that stood out to me. And so it's been a slow and steady progression, but right now he's definitely playing the best ball that he has, you know, since getting drafted last season. There's no doubt about it. Just kind of, you know, he's that guy where he's kind of like he's a big physical build, but he hasn't, you know, at least in the past, kind of played like it. But there's been some times where he's kind of come up with some 50-50 balls and really starting to come into his own.
How about tight end Gerald Everett? Has he been a factor in the Chargers passing game this season?
Yeah, he's a guy that's kind of had his moments as well. Like to start the year, I believe he had a touchdown in each of the first two games. And then there was kind of like a silent stretch for him, but he started to come on. He obviously caught the 2-point conversion that won it for the Chargers last week. But you know, he's kind of turned the tight end position into more of a weapon than what the Chargers have had with Jared Cook in the previous season. So he's a guy that's played a pivotal part. There's no doubt about it. And you know, he seems like a guy that him and Justin really clicked early. And building that chemistry with Gerald coming over from Seattle and just having that the training camp to find that chemistry. And it's just kind of built as the season's gone on.
So I always hate talking about the Chargers running backs on the show because everyone or every Raider fan knows who Austin Eckler is and what he brings to the table. And it feels like they always have a revolving door for whoever's behind them. Like, I don't know, like the last few years, it seems like that's been anyone's job of the taking, but nobody wants it. So who is that guy right now that's behind Austin Eckler?
Well, due to the injuries, you know, the common theme of the Chargers, it's changed throughout the year. So to start the year was Joshua Kelly, and he looked awesome. He was running very, you know, he's just that big physical back, and he was running through guys. He was averaging 4.5 yards per carry before he got injured against the Browns in week six. So he looked like the Chargers finally found that RB2 behind Austin Eckler, which Eckler, you know, to go into the season, he had been very vocal that he kind of needs a guy to, right, to step in and challenge him for carries. Just the year before, he had 20 touchdowns, very productive, but they were kind of running him into the ground. And so it was clear they needed another back in there. Joshua Kelly had really stepped up. And then he suffered an MCL sprain. So that caused him to go on injured reserve. Then things kind of shifted between a little bit of a Sony Michel mix, and then Isaiah Spiller got in there. Spiller looked to really, you know, kind of earn that role during Kelly's absence and kind of take over as the RB2. And then last week was the first week where Kelly was back with Spiller, And so it kind of seemed like last week, Kelly and Spiller were kind of sharing, I guess you could say, like the RB2 rotational back type of role. So right now it seems like it's between those two guys, right? I would say Kelly definitely has proven more this season, but both of those guys seem to kind of bring a little bit of different dimension to the running game that Austin Eckler doesn't. You know, Eckler's just that very versatile guy, low center of gravity, you know, very strong. But the other guys are kind of more the bruiser type of backs. So it's kind of, you know, it kind of counteracts one another.
I'm not sure if I missed this when you were talking, but when did Kelly come back? Was last week his first week back?
Yeah, last week was his first week back. He only had, I believe, like 4 carries. So there wasn't a whole lot there. But before he went down, he was looking really good.
Gotcha. So you think they're trying to like ease him in, and maybe this week might be the week that he gets more carries and maybe out touches Spiller?
Yeah, that could be, you know, like even throughout last week's practice, he was going through practice with a pretty extensive brace on his knee. I asked him how healthy is the knee? And he kind of said like, it's good enough. So I think, there was a little bit of like, he's healthy enough to play, but I don't think the team wanted to really push it too much. So yeah, I think you could definitely see him getting, you know, touching the ball more than 4 times like he did last week.
Makes sense. On the offensive line, by far the biggest difference from the season opener is that Rashawn Slater won't be playing. So who's going to line up at left tackle for the Chargers?
Yeah, so since Slater went down, they turned to 6th-round pick Jamari Salyer out of Georgia. I'm sure you know him, Matt, from all your scouting stuff, right? You know, being the left tackle of the national championship Bulldogs. But he's been a guy that when they drafted him, they used him at guard all throughout camp and in the preseason. And then when Jamari went down, they kicked him out to tackle. And he really has played well. I mean, obviously he hasn't played as well as an all pro like right, Sean right. has, but for a 6th-round rookie to step in and do what he has, his first 5 games, he hadn't allowed a sack. And, you know, some of those were, he was going up against Myles Garrett. So he got thrown, you know, kind of into the fire right away, really getting tested. The last 2 weeks he has given up a sack, but you know, that, like any rookie, you're going to have right. your ups, you're going to have your downs, but I wouldn't say he's been like a liability or anything. But I guess the more concerning thing for the Chargers is Trey Pipkins, their starting right tackle. He's dealt with an MCL injury, and so he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. He left the game last week and didn't return. So they could be putting in their Foster Sorrell, who's only started 1 game in his NFL career. So that could kind of be one of those matchups that the Raiders look to exploit with Max Crosby coming off the edge.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the right tackle situation because I saw that. Because I remember, I think I was watching, it's like, it must have been Sunday Night Football where Sorrell made his first start, and he looked all right. I mean, I know he had his few moments where he got beat towards the end. I think he got the old announcer sheet. And I think it came right as like Chris Collinsworth, someone was praising him with the old announcer's jinx. But I am curious, you know, as far as Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, how do you think that matches up with the Chargers with seems like replacement guys at offensive tackle?
Yeah, I think Jamari really hasn't been like a concern pretty much since he stepped in. It's been pretty sound protection from his side. Obviously, there's been situations Foster Sorrell, like you said, he fared fairly well 2 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football, and that was going up against Nick Bosa. Now, they did do a bunch of chipping throughout that game to kind of give him, you know, additional protection, and rightfully so. So if he's the guy, I would imagine that's going to be the game plan for slowing down Max Crosby, because we all know what he's capable of. But I definitely think that Crosby's probably going to have the upper hand if they do have to go with Sorrell. And, you know, Trey Pipkins, he's had this MCL injury for about 6 weeks now, and he's only missed one game, but there has been quite a few situations where he has to come out of the game for certain lengths at a time because of that injury. And he hasn't quite been the same, but, you know, credit to him playing through an MCL sprain. It seems like right now there is a chance that he isn't able to go this Sunday.
Gotcha. What about the interior guys? We got an update on a first round pick, Zion Johnson, for us.
Zion started out awesome, and then the last 2 weeks he's kind of hit a rough patch. One of those games was against Chris Jones, and, you know, he's probably the best interior guy, not named Aaron Donald at this point. So, you know, you kind of give him a break there, but he kind of got pushed around a little bit last week against the Cardinals. But, you know, it's a lot of the Chargers fans were you know, kind of pointing that out. But to an extent, you know, what Rashawn Slater did was just unprecedented. Like, most of these rookies come in and there is going to be that learning curve.
Right,
and I still think Zion Johnson is going to be a stud player, but the last couple of weeks have probably been his roughest stretch. So yeah, you know, that's going to kind of be one that we see how that's going to unfold. But next to him, Corey Linsley, he was put in concussion protocol. He suffered a concussion last week during the game. So that's going to be one to see how that plays out, because he really is the glue to that offensive line. He's missed two games this season, and when he's not in there, the offensive line looks completely different. Not in a good way. So he really is kind of the guy that's getting everybody lined up, and I believe he's grading out by PFF as the number one center this season. So when he's not in there, it's a real substantial blow for that O-line. So if he can't play, they're going to turn to Will Clapp, former Saint. He has a bunch of experience, but definitely not what Corey Lindsley's provided.
Well, I feel like too, with Lindsley being a veteran guy, and, you know, obviously rookie guy to his left, Zion Johnson is a rookie guy, one out to his left as a backup left tackle and Sailor, and, you know, you have Foster Sorrell or whoever at right tackle. Like, they could use that guy in the middle in the center of the offensive line to be setting the protection and taking care of all the mental stuff and all that veteran leadership too, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's shift gears here to the defensive side of the ball, and the theme of the show here: Chargers injuries. They let go Jerry Tillery go, then had a couple guys go on IR. So my question is really, who's just left at defensive tackle? Like, who's going to be lining up for the Chargers in the trenches?
Yeah, so like, they have Sebastian Joseph Day, who was one of their, you know, marquee signings in free agency. He's still there. But they've lost a lot of guys. So right now it's Sebastian Joseph Day and Morgan Fox. Morgan Fox was with Carolina last year. He was with Staley in the Rams in LA in 2020. So those are their two starters. Morgan Fox is kind of more of an interior type of pass rushing type of guy, whereas, you know, Joseph Day is that guy that really prioritized stopping the run. But the Chargers've had a look elsewhere. They signed Tyler Davidson off the Browns practice squad to come in and kind of be a depth guy for them. But it's really been, you know, they lost four guys within a span of 2 weeks, one of those being Jerry Tillery. So it's an area that the Raiders are really going to be able to exploit, because all the other teams have in recent weeks. So I'd imagine that the run game is probably going to be going crazy again for Las Vegas.
So more hypothetical, and I know hindsight's always 20/20. Do you think, had they known, obviously injuries are impossible to predict, but had they known, or do you think they wish they would not have released Tillery? That's the best way to phrase that question. Now that they're so down at defensive tackle.
Ideally, yeah, I'm sure they would, but you know, the thing with Jerry Tillery, it kind of came out, it was a little surprising, but then, you know, it was at least I learned that Jerry Tillery and the team kind of they kind of had some, you know, conflicting beliefs. Tillery wanted to be playing more after some of the other guys went down. The Chargers, you know, kind of wanted to see him battle it out, so they couldn't quite get on the same page. And I guess, you know, his mindset couldn't get turned around, and it was starting to kind of impact the locker room. So they moved on. I'm sure they wish they could have, you know, salvaged that because of all of the injuries that followed following his release. But yeah, they're kind of in a tough spot now. And, you know, now it's the revenge game's here.
For sure. The other thing you mentioned that I wanted to ask you on was the struggles stopping the run. I think Daniel Popper of The Athletic shared an article or tweeted it out that they're literally like the worst run defense, so averaging like 5.5 yards per carry since like 2000. Do you think the struggles at defensive tackle have played a factor in that, or is that just one of the many things that have you know, contributed to that lack of success?
They were struggling early in the season, but it seemed like they're, you know, like you mentioned, the yards per carry given up. It seemed like early on it was because of like one or two big splash runs. I believe the first from like week two to like week six, they had given up a run over like 50 yards or more. So that was kind of inflating that total. But now since the injuries have piled up, it really hasn't mattered. It's just been, you know, they just haven't been able to stop the run at all. So it was bad before, and it just went from bad to worse. So that's kind of where they are now. They've given up over 150 in the last five games. They're bottom five in stopping the run. So it's just kind of who they are at this point.
So I know you brought up Joey Bosa and his timetable for return earlier, but I'm curious, is there any chance he might play this week, or has there been any word on that so far?
No, he's pretty much, there's not really a chance that he's ready this soon. He's probably still a few weeks away at least.
Gotcha.
That's kind of the signal that Brandon Staley's giving.
Gotcha. And then before we wrap up on the defensive line, any updates on Khalil Mack? How's the former Raider doing over there? Is he still the same menace?
He's still the same menace, Matt. You know, Khalil, all the Raider fans know what Khalil is capable of. If they had Joey, I think we'd even be able to see Khalil, you know, dominate kind of like he did in that week one game. That's been his best game so far this season. I also don't think that's by accident. I think there's a little more fuel to it when he plays the Raiders and gets to kind of, you know, talk crap to Derek Carr a little bit, you know, chirping his ear. So we'll see. I'm sure he'll be amped up for this one again.
So before we start to wrap up here, I want to talk about the defensive backs. And you shared with me, you know, Derwin James snap counts a little while back, and he's all over the field, lining up at all three levels, at the edge, linebacker, back at the safety, of course, covering the slot sometimes too. So what does he mean to this Chargers defense? Is it safe to say that he's the heart and soul of that defense?
I think it's very safe to say that. Yeah, he moves all over, and kind of in slew of all of the run game, the run defense being, you know, as bad as it is, the Chargers have actually moved Derwin James at times at edge. He the last couple of weeks, he's seen about, you know, anywhere from like 8 to 12 snaps at edge rusher. And then they'll bring on their third round pick JT Woods. And he kind of plays the deep safety role. So at times they're going with three safeties, and they kind of put Derwin in there just because of how good of a tackler he is. But you know, like you mentioned, like just when you kind of like look at his snap counts, he's playing safety, he's playing edge, he's playing linebacker, he's playing, you know, slot corner. He moves all over. So he's a guy that's just going to constantly be moving. Probably one that Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels are really keeping a close eye on. If Darren Waller was healthy, I'd imagine he would probably be matched up on him for large portions of the game. I think you're probably going to see Davante Adams on him at times. Last week they matched him up against DeAndre Hopkins one-on-one. He had an interception on kind of a 50-50 ball between those two. And, you know, we kind of know DeAndre Hopkins is probably one of the better contested catch receivers in the game. So, you know, Derwin really, he forced two takeaways last week. And, you know, he's just kind of, like you mentioned, he really is just that glue to the defense.
So I'd imagine part of the reason why Derwin James is out there covering guys like DeAndre Hopkins is because J.C. Jackson is obviously out and done for the year. But as a lot of people have pointed out, J.C. Jackson wasn't playing well this year when he was on the field. So I'm curious, all right, two questions for you. Who's kind of replacing Jackson at corner? Is that Derwin James, or, and is the, has the secondary actually improved without Jackson in the lineup?
You know, it's tough because, so they turned to Michael Davis, who was their starter last season and the year before. So it wasn't like they had to, you know, turn the page to one of their options coming off the bench. And this guy doesn't have a whole lot of experience because Michael Davis had been their starter in previous seasons. So, and that, in that perspective, like they were actually okay. And like you said, like as bad as JC Jackson was playing, yeah, it probably does look like an upgrade right now. I don't think JC was going to play like that all year. Like what, sure, what he was doing in camp, he looked like an elite cover corner. And he said before he got injured, like it was affecting him mentally and it had gotten into his head. And obviously it showed with his play. So I felt like deep down he was going to get it turned around. I don't know if it was going to be nearly to what he was able to do in New England, but there was no way he was going to play like that all season. So I do think though that, you know, with Michael Davis in there, they have really kind of taken a step in their coverage. Derwin James with him kind of being deployed at corner, that just comes down to, you know, quite frankly, even though he's a safety, he's their best cover guy. So in certain spots, they want to put him on the, you know, opposing team's best player. When they played the Chiefs and Travis Kelce caught the game winning touchdown, Derwin James was covering Travis Kelce. Derwin hadn't allowed a catch covering Kelce all game with him manned up on him until that final catch. And a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, Travis Kelce burned Derwin. He killed him all day. It just happened to be the last play, which obviously hurt, and Derwin owned it after the game. But he's really been the guy that in crunch time, they're going to put him against the opposing team's number one.
It's funny. I feel like corner and offensive line are similar in that, like, you can have a great game for 59 plays, but if you screw up once, everyone thinks you sucked. Like, yes. It's hilarious how it always works out. So last question, I just need a status check on Brandon Staley's job security, because I swear to God, depending on who you talk to, he's either the greatest coach in the NFL or the absolute worst, no in between. So what is the, what's the fan base's perception of Staley right now?
The fan base's perception is he's not the guy.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's the fan base's perception. Now they're 6-5. They're the most injured team in the NFL. And I know fans are not going to want to hear, you know, the injury talk. And they had, you know, the expectations entering the season were they weren't just expected to make the playoffs. They're expected to make like a legitimate run. I think those expectations have definitely been tamed just with everything that's transpired. But, you know, I hate being the guy to continue to just, you know, harp on these injuries. But when I was looking at like, I wrote down like literally every player that was injured and how many games they've missed. And it was just baffling that they were still playing competitive football. As far as the way that I've seen it. Now, do they need to make the playoffs for his job to be safe? Probably so. So right now I would say, you know, maybe it's do or die time. I guess is the way I look at it. And I think that's kind of something that needs to be assessed at the end of the year, just based on, you know, the expectations were high. They spent a ton of money. Sure, the injuries have happened. He's kind of kept them in it, but he's also had, you know, decisions that have came back to haunt him, as well. You know, he's not alone. Other coaches do too. But so I kind of think right now it's kind of like you make the playoffs, he's probably back another year. If they don't, then they're probably going to have to take a hard look at that.
Awesome, Nick. Well, appreciate you coming on the podcast for the second time this year. Real quick, give everyone a reminder where they can follow you so we keep tabs on the enemy.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Nick Gothrell, and then all my work is on ChargerReport.com, part of the Sports Illustrated media group. And then, Matt, before we wrap up, I have one question for you.
Sounds
good. How has Jerry Tillery looked in his two games with the Raiders?
So he hasn't like I think he might have like one tackle on the stat sheet, and he hasn't like really popped off, doesn't have like a pressure or a sack or anything. But what I can say, whatever he did has unlocked Bilal Nichols. Like, I think Marcus and I, Marcus Johnson and I were talking about it. Like, Bilal Nichols at one point was like the most double teamed pass rusher, most double teamed defensive tackle and pass rush in like the NFL, because the Raiders just had no other guy that can interior rush. Like, Andrew Billings, like everyone else was just a run defender. And then Jerry Tillery comes along and And Bilal Nichols is all of a sudden like the greatest interior pass rusher alive. Like he's had like two of his best games. He's like getting pressure consistently. And like, so like Jerry Tillery, like he hasn't necessarily like made a huge impact like on the stat sheet, but whether it's lighting a fire under Bilal Nichols or just taking the pressure off of him, because Tillery is a decent pass rusher, like that's just helped unlock them. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know what it is. So we'll see. I'm kind of hoping Tillery can have a breakout game against his get some retribution for himself. So,
yeah, I'd imagine he's probably going to be fired up for this one. At least this season, while he was with the Chargers, he was generating some push from a pass rush standpoint. But when teams would run the ball at him, it didn't look pretty. So, I think it was his first game. I caught a little bit of that, and I saw he came up with one run stop. But other than that, I hadn't seen much. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's about it. Well, Nick, I'm about to lose you here for a second. But anyway, for anyone listening, you guys know where to find me on Twitter, @mholder95. Make sure you follow Silver and Black Pride too. Until next time, guys.